A brave school counselor blows the whistle on a policy that allows staff to keep gender identity a secret from a student's parents. We're going to talk to that brave school counselor doing just that, and in a very public way. That is straight ahead. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Educate. I'm Liz Collin. Also ahead, a crackdown on cell phones in the classroom is taken all the way to one state's capital, where a ban on phones just received Senate approval in that state. Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We're going to get to those stories and more this week in a moment. But first, I want to welcome you into Educate. We're here to take a deep dive into education each and every week. We're also showing you ways to get involved, to show up, to stand up, and to speak up on behalf of your kids. We're doing just that this week with a great guest that I'm excited to get to. The Central Issues of Education, where we're providing criticism and we're also offering positive solutions to problems. So you'll go away each and every week with an action plan, something to do. My name is Liz Collin. I'll be your host here for the next hour. I am a Minnesota-based journalist with a place called Alpha News, alphanews.org. I'm a wife, a mom, and happy to be with you as we navigate this world of education together. I have a kid going through it right now. We are here to help. With that, there's this story centering on cell phones, the technology part of the puzzle that we seem to be talking about each and every week. So this story is happening in Louisiana, where a ban on cell phones in public schools gets Senate approval. This is from the Louisiana Illuminator, that online publication. I'll read just a bit here. The Louisiana Senate unanimously passed a bill on Monday that prohibits students from using their phones during the school day. Seems like a good idea, right? Haven't seen it taken this far quite yet, but Senator Beth Mizell, she's a Republican who authored this Senate bill to keep students from using cell phones in the classroom. The bill specifically prohibits students from having cell phones on his person throughout the school day. Further states that any student who chooses to bring a phone onto campus must have it turned off and properly stowed away or be prohibited from being turned on and used during the school day. So kind of curious to know your thoughts. Is this going too far, or is this headed in the right direction? To me, it seems sad that we actually have to pass a state law in Louisiana to get this through to our kids. Again, something that we never had to deal with years ago, not only because there weren't phones, but I also felt like people back in the day used to respect authority perhaps a bit more and would follow the teacher's guidelines. Now it seems teachers pick their battles, and if a student perhaps is not being disruptive when it comes to their phones, they're not even telling them to put them away when they shouldn't be having them at all in the first place. But this story goes on again, happening in Louisiana, where a Senate bill passed unanimously to ban phones in school districts across the state. But it further states that any student who chooses to bring a phone onto campus must have it turned off and properly stowed away. As I said, school leaders already have the authority, of course, to make this policy and enforce it. But this state lawmaker said in a committee meeting that they're simply not. She called her bill the backup that systems need to implement this type of rule. So kind of providing some teeth for our kids. So we'll go ahead and watch this one. It needs a House approval just yet, but happening in Louisiana. Kind of on this topic, I was wondering how many kids actually have phones nowadays? Certainly, it seems like a lot. When is the appropriate age to get a phone? And found this story. This is from the Child Mind Institute. It says, by the time kids are in middle school, the pressure from kids can be intense. Parents worry that their child will feel isolated if other kids have phones. They don't. So according to a poll, this is from Common Sense Media in this story, 42% of kids have a phone by the age of 10. So nearly half of the kids by the age of 10 have a phone. By age 12, 71%. And by 14, the age of 14, it's 91%. It's amazing. I think I got my first cell phone when I was about 22, which perhaps shows my age. But it is amazing how it's really changed parenting and childhood, it seems, by this distraction and also this conversation you need to be having with your kids, how to even use this thing, if you are even allowing them to have it at all. I'm very strictly a no social media parent. I'll be honest, my 11-year-old, almost 12-year-old, has a phone, and that's pretty recent. And that's really just after having the watch, he switched over to the phone as a way for me to track him and keep in touch. But I am very anti-social media. I don't even see me ever allowing him to have it. So we'll have to see. Perhaps I might even take the internet off that thing by the time this is all said and done. But I limit his screen time a great deal. And I try to do all the parental controls and keep up on everything. Thankfully, it's going well so far. But I know some parents have certainly had a struggle. I also think that it might be easier with boys than girls. I may be wrong. I only have a boy. So that just seems to be my life experience at this point. So then, of course, that decision by parents is trickling into what's happening each and every day in our school system. This story, published in February, by the looks of things, on the Associated Press, is talking about, you know, go ahead and issue a nationwide ban in schools for phones. And it does seem that there is some support. Most schools, this article on the AP says, already have rules regulating the student phone use, but they're enforced sporadically. As we were talking about, a growing number of leaders at the state and federal levels have begun endorsing school cell phone bans and suggesting new ways to curb access to devices. They point out that there are several bipartisan alliances now calling for stiffer rules for social media companies, greater online safety for kids, of course, playing a direct role in the cell phone conversation. And nationally, 77% of U.S. schools say that they prohibit cell phones at school for non-academic use. I'm actually surprised that number isn't higher. But again, this is the National Center for Education Statistics saying that 77% of U.S. schools say that they prohibit cell phones at school for non-academic use. It's interesting, this story is talking to an educator in California, talking about how it's completely out of control and just picking her battles. These kids are sending Snapchats. You know, when we used to pass notes, that's how old I am. I guess this is the new way of passing notes, is you're snapping each other, as the kids say, or are texting one another. And rather than disrupting the class, telling them to go ahead and put it away, knock it off, they're just picking their battles and perhaps talking to them in private or having a conversation with parents at home. Always lots to talk about when it comes to cell phones and our kids. Switching gears, though, this week, to a school counselor making some waves down in southern Minnesota. This is a story we covered over at Alpha News, and we'll continue to do so. But a school counselor who didn't really sit well with her when she heard about a guideline for educators that allows them to keep gender identity a secret from parents when asked by the students. They don't have to go ahead and inform parents about what's going on with gender identity. Christina Barton is her name, and she's a very brave woman to step forward and say, hey, you know what? This doesn't really sit well with me. And this all came to light. I just want people to listen in after a staff meeting that took place back in February for Christina. And this staff meeting covered a lot of different things, but she had to sit through this video talking a bit more about gender identity and pronoun usage. So take a listen to the video that again, staff at this elementary school took a listen to.
So as a non-binary person, I think the thing that I hear the most around the non-binary community is how hard they, them, and other gender-neutral pronouns are. And because I am non-binary, I have heard every reason under the sun as to why people don't use they, them pronouns. It's too hard to remember. It's not grammatically correct. They, them is plural. And my very favorite one, I don't believe in pronouns. In today's video, I'm going to be explaining why they, them pronouns aren't actually that hard to use. I'm also going to explain how to use them and why they are so important to use the correct pronouns for someone.
Yes. So in case you're wondering, this is what a staff training looks like now. I have so many questions after watching that video, not even sure how that actually counted as clearing the air at all. Anyway, much to talk about with Christina Barton. You're listening to Educate. The show is brought to you by The New American. Head to thenewamerican.com for more. We'll be right back with Christina after this break. The New American magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people. Now, for a limited time, the New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World, for just $19.95. Available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today.
Hey, America. How tired are you of mainstream corporate media's biased narratives and manipulated news? Their dishonesty and attempts to influence this generation have been exposed, put on display for anyone who's even half paying attention. But the New American Magazine has been an honest source of news and commentary for over 50 years. This is your opportunity to receive the stalwart of principled journalism at a deep discount. Picture a beautifully published magazine arriving at your doorstep twice a month, packed with insightful stories written with integrity. It's also available digitally on the New American's mobile app. Get up to speed with intelligent coverage from a freedom perspective. Right now, for a limited time, the New American is available to radio listeners at a 25% discount on a new subscription. Visit thenewamerican.com/radio25 and receive 25% off. Subscribe today at thenewamerican.com/radio25.
Welcome back to Educate. I'm Liz Collin, and my guest this week is Christina Barton. As I was talking about in the first segment of this show, she is a school counselor, and a brave school counselor, I should say. She is blowing the whistle on a policy that allows staff to keep the gender identity of students a secret from parents. She's been working the last couple of years in the Rochester Public School System that is in southern Minnesota. Christina, thank you so much for joining me and being my guest this week on Educate.
Thank you for having me, Liz, and for sharing my story.
Yeah, and your story is really one of bravery, but also I think one, we always like to have different voices on this show, people who speak up and stand up for our kids, and you're definitely one of those people. And I gave folks some of the background in the first segment of Educate here this week, but I kind of wanted to start with your background just to so people can get a feel for who you are, what you're doing there in Rochester. You're currently working at an elementary school, but just give us some background and how you ended up even as a school counselor in the first place.
Yeah, so I am a school counselor. It is just, I feel like, a passion and a calling. And I am just so blessed to be a voice for the students and also for parents. I have been doing this for, I guess, 5 years. And prior to that, I was teaching psychology as well as working in the government, doing vocational rehabilitation counseling and also some case management. So I've been in the mental health field for quite a while now. And it's just something that I'm really, really passionate about. And kids are such a blessing to me. They're exactly the reason why I do what I do. And when I think of them, I oftentimes get really emotional just because they are so innocent and so impressionable, and they need somebody to come in and just love on them and support them and to be a really good just model in their life. And so I also understand how important parents are as the most integral first teacher of their life. They are the guiding voice. And one of the things that I have heard throughout the years from parents is that sometimes they just don't feel heard in the education system. And I know I have certainly felt that as a parent of a child in the education system. And so I think that there's such great empathy and understanding both sides of the table. And you know, when it comes to things that really matter, such as this guideline, sometimes you just have to break the mold and you have to stand on that truth and integrity, even if it comes with at a cost, so that way you can protect these children and these families and you can stand up for what is right so parents can feel empowered to use their voice and protect their children and also stand on the constitutional rights that were given to them from the beginning of founding of our country.
Well, I think that's so well said. And I love the saying, integrity is choosing courage over comfort. And I know you've been doing that, it seems like, day in, day out within the Rochester Public School System. Again, my guest this week is Christina Barton, a school counselor at an elementary school in Rochester, Minnesota. Now take our listeners back here, Christina. This all kind of comes on your radar out of nowhere, basically, it sounds like. A few months ago, this policy, how does this come about? And sort of just talk about kind of what is going through your mind when you hear that, in fact, this is school policy to keep gender identity a secret from parents.
Yeah. When I think about that meeting that happened on Valentine's Day of this year, I still just am really disheartened just to think that, you know, I've been working for a school district that is secretly trying to push, it seems like, an agenda, an ideological agenda, and not invite the parents to the table or the community to the table. And when I heard that this guideline, because it's not yet a policy according to the guideline, because the school board has not voted on it yet this year to make an ongoing policy, and the superintendent also hasn't provided me a date in which they are going to vote on it, which is concerning. I felt this kind of righteous anger, this compelling in my heart that I needed to speak out, because not only as a parent, but also as a school counselor, as an advocate for the student and parent, I felt that they needed to know and that we needed to stand on truth, and make an awareness to our parents and to the community that, hey, this is happening, and it is our job to make sure that you understand and you know, so that way you can do whatever you feel is best for your child to protect them and exercise those rights that you have.
Yeah, which I think is inspiring. With our last couple minutes here, I want to get to eventually, you know, you take this as far as the school board. I mean, I think it takes a little bit to muzzle you. You're not keeping quiet. But you immediately, it sounds like, at this meeting are bothered, by what's in front of you.
Yeah. Like you said, I will not be muzzled. When it comes to matters that are right and wrong, I will always stand on truth, and I will always make sure that, our children are protected. Our school district, very different personnel, within our school district that I have had personal one-on-one conversations with, have warned me and threatened me, that if I make this public, that I will face retaliation. And also if I am not in non-compliance. And so at the back of the guideline, it talks about how staff are to comply with this guideline. If we do not respect the pronouns of the student, or we out the child to the parent, we will face disciplinary action up to termination. And so instead of allowing that to intimidate me, or censor me from speaking truth, it actually empowers me to speak out more. And so their approach isn't working very well, but that's okay, because we need to create awareness. The parents have the right to be informed, and they have the right.
And absolutely, you're doing just that at these meetings and this listening session too. We're going to continue our conversation with Christina Barton from the Rochester School District. Again, a school counselor blowing the whistle on this guideline, not a policy. I also love how they play with the language, right? Yes. That's part of the plan, it seems, as well. But we'll continue our conversation with Christina after this break. A reminder, you're listening to Educate. This show is brought to you by The New American. For more, visit thenewamerican.com. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard someone say, the system's broken? Sure you have. Well, it's not true. America's founders created a brilliant governing system that prevents us from having kings, queens, dictators, and even czars. We the people can replace every elected official in a span of 6 years if we so choose. Here at the John Birch Society, we believe the only way to liberty, prosperity, and national sovereignty is not only understand what's in our founding documents, but demand that every elected official adheres to them. The reason we have a ballooning, reckless, and corrupt government is because elected officials aren't following the Constitution. The John Birch Society is principled, coordinated, effective activism. We believe the Constitution is the solution. Join JBS and change America. Visit JBS.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1 to get involved. That's JBS.org.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Liz Collin on Educate This Week. Christina Barton is my guest. She is a school counselor in Rochester, Minnesota, blowing the whistle in a very public way about a guideline. I was calling it a policy. I apologize. But I do love how they play the language game with all of this. But Christina discovered this guideline a couple months ago that allows staff from the district to keep gender identity a secret from parents. This bothered her. Many people would also be bothered, but they keep their mouth shut. Not this woman in southern Minnesota. But talk about that, Christina. Why did you then decide to show up at the school board and then talk about what you were able to discuss and then sort of where this has sort of snowballed from there?
Yeah. So the current guideline in question that you said is not policy, is yet to be voted on. It only informs, the language is very specific and very deceiving. And it only informs parents of their students' gender identity, quote, if they request it. Now, for people who don't know what FERPA is, it is the Federal Educational Rights Protection Act. And so any parent at any time can fundamentally request their students' records, and they have to comply, and they are allowed to see whatever is in their student's file. Or they could even request information about the curriculum that they are learning. But if a student is not displaying signs or warnings of something that is happening, that is bothering them, how would a parent know to request such information? And, you know, one of my arguments in some of my personal discussions with some of the RPS personnel is this isn't just about gender identity here. Even if a parent, a child is struggling with suicidal ideation or other issues like bullying, but a student does not tell their parent or they don't show signs of, you know, that they're struggling with whatever, they may not know to request it. And it's not that the parent doesn't have a good relationship with the student at all. Sometimes children just don't know how to advocate or articulate that language and ask for help. But they also may sometimes just not... They just may not know how to go about it. But one of the things that is really important is that a parent should be able to care for and support their student. And it is their fundamental right to be the guiding voice of their child, to instill those beliefs and values, to make sure that they understand that when they make those life-altering choices, that they can process that with them and they can be that supportive adult in their life, because that is what a loving and caring parent does. And it's so important that we not push and drive a wedge between the parent and child relationship and push them out.
And it sounds like you feel like what this policy, it's exactly what it does.
That's exactly what I feel like they're doing. They're pushing the school district, the government in, and they're pushing the parent out. And that's very concerning going forward in this culture.
And I spoke with you recently for my podcast on Alpha News. And as part of that, the Rochester School District sent a statement to Alpha News when we asked why was this something that they decided to do. And it says, just I want to read this statement. The guidance was developed and shared with principals to provide them with information on settled legal precedents and how school district policy is to be implemented in our schools today regarding issues of gender identity. And that's what's troubling here, too. The Upper Midwest Law Center, a group here in Minnesota that takes cases like this on. But they're saying, you know, these laws in Minnesota allow districts to withhold this information from parents. There's no consideration of parental rights. But federal law, I recall, as you said, really does play a role here, and people should pay attention to that.
Yes. And I want to make it very clear, although I really admire lawyers, and becoming in law probably would have been my second career choice. But I am not a lawyer, but I do know enough through some of my research in my field that there is a constitutional issue, which is exactly what you were alluding to. It's a parental right issue. And there is something called the Hatch Amendment. It is the PPRA, Pupil Protection Rights Act, that does protect parental rights. So what it does is it says that it gives parents the rights to have the ultimate authority as the guiding voice of their child, to instill beliefs and values, and they are to have notice and consent before their child can be asked about various subjects, to include mental health, political affiliation, surveys, curriculum, religious affiliation, sexual behavior, attitudes, and much more. And so there are some very concerning issues here, because if parents are not allowed to have a voice, then clearly this needs to be heard on a different level, because it violates the First and 14th Amendment of a parent as well as a student. And that is really concerning at this stage.
And we've been talking, Christina, about sort of taking this to the next level. You're there then at the school board meeting. I believe this was in March, correct?
Yes, it was March 19th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, just a few weeks ago, and it seemed like the school board, for the most part, was not aware of this guidance. Is that correct?
From what it sounded like through the listening session that I spoke at the Friday after, on the 22nd, with a school board member, when I had asked her when she knew that they were supposed to meet, because the guideline says that the RPS school plans to undertake and complete that task during the 2024 school year through the school board's ongoing policy development, that the guideline will remain in force until the Rochester School Board develops and approves a policy and or procedures to support this transgender and gender expansive student guideline. And so Jean Marvin, who is the school board member, she seemed to be unaware of a date that they're supposed to be meeting. And she actually, through conversation, seemed like she was already impressed that this was implemented as a policy, but yet it's clearly not. And like I said, this guideline is addressed to the administrators. And when I had a conversation with the superintendent, it sounds like it was created by him, and he had met with the administrators about this. So I wonder if we were even supposed to be made aware of this as staff. But this certainly was not provided to us. It's not common knowledge. And then we're supposed to uphold a guideline that we didn't even know about. But it feels like our hands are tied as staff, because our relationship with the parent is really important. And to not be able to tell the truth and be supportive of the parent-child relationship by lying or withholding information is very deceptive. And that does not build inherent trust or bridge the gap between the district and the parents.
And now you see what the district is doing to you. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Again, my guest this week, Christina Barton. Of course, they can't commend her for coming forward. It seems she's definitely been put under the microscope ever since. So we're going to continue our conversation when we come back. The show is brought to you by The New American. For more, visit thenewamerican.com. You're listening to Educate. We're back in a moment.
Can you believe after all the recent violent protests, looting, and destruction, some communities are considering either defunding or abolishing the police? If you agree that now is the time when police protection is needed most, then it's time we stand up and support your local police and the communities they serve. Call 800-JBS-USA1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet. That's 800-JBS-USA1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet today.
Leftist propaganda, endless pronouns, critical race theory, sexually explicit books accessible to minors, and more. It seems our public education system is a complete mess. That's why you should consider Freedom Project Academy. They've perfected online learning, offering live, on-demand, and homeschool courses for K through 12. Freedom Project Academy was built on Judeo-Christian values and classical curriculum. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com to request your free information packet. We can't afford to hand over another generation to the left, so take back your child's education. Once again, visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Welcome back to Educate This Week. Again, Liz Collin here, and I'm joined by the lovely Christina Barton, who is fighting the good fight in Rochester, Minnesota, a school counselor who's really put herself out there. Taking issue with some things that the school district is doing when it comes to gender identity and our kids. So we've talked about going to the school board, attending this listening session and whatnot. And I know, first, before I ask you the next question, talk about the support you've received, because many people are in your corner. Of course, many people you work with can't say that publicly. Is that right, Christina?
Yes, that is correct. There are staff that are in our district that are very supportive of me speaking out and do not agree with this. But like they said, they feel censored and they fear retaliation and they have to, you know, have job security. And it really disheartens me that we even have to feel this way. We should feel that we could exercise our freedom of speech to say what we feel is true and not be retaliated against as a result of it.
Well, and talk about a little bit about this, the retaliation you've seen and experienced since coming forward. And again, this is really just weeks ago, but they wasted no time, it seems, to go after someone like yourself who hasn't been a problem ever before.
Yeah, It's like I said, I keep using the word disheartening, but I think that's a great word. You know, I have felt really disheartened just by the reactions of the district. I've had multiple conversations with various RPS personnel and have been warned that if I make this guideline public, that there is risk of job retaliation up to disciplinary action or termination, as well as being in noncompliance of the guideline by outing a student or not respecting their pronouns. And wow. Like I said, I've spoken to other staff who are also afraid of the same, you know, for the same reason for speaking out. But, you know, I've always taught my son and students that standing on truth and integrity are so important because these are the principles that matter in life. And if you don't have that, nothing else matters. Even if it means it comes at a cost or it's unpopular, we have to speak truth.
Good for you. A great role model, not only for your son, but everyone in that school. And it's just amazing to me, you know, even when you say that out loud, that you're threatened with termination for bringing this forward. I mean, that is crazy. When our tax dollars are actually, you know, paying for this education, and then we can't know what's happening inside the building. It is it's wild. But you've mentioned that some things have happened to you since. And if you don't want to get involved in talking about that publicly, I completely understand. But you've definitely ruffled some feathers, it seems.
Yes, I definitely have ruffled some feathers. I have felt a lot of passive aggression in our district, with different coworkers. I have been held to different standards that no one else is being held to. I have been written a formalized, quote, non-disciplinary letter regarding those standards. And, you know, I am a very respectful and compliant person when it comes to respecting my authority or their authority. I will, but when it comes to, you know, the difference between truth and, lying, I'm always going to speak truth. I've seen people put up, you know, pride flags. I've seen people put up, consider government speech, type of propaganda. I've had people kind of give me the cold shoulder. Since then, I have had, just recently a parent ask me not to see their student again, because they misconstrued what I actually said in my public statement to the school board. You know, and that's really sad because I love my students, and my job is to protect them, and I respect any parent's decision because they are the guiding voice. But I'm certainly not doing this to create judgment for that community. I am certainly just trying to allow parents to have a voice and feel empowered to stand up for what is right. And I'm hoping that by me speaking up will embolden other people to speak up. But yeah, it's definitely taken a physical and emotional toll. But, you know, it's storms only produce faith and character. And I'm just going to continue to hold on to the faith that I have in God. And I'm going to continue to hold on to the amazing support that I have in my life. And like you were saying, we've had a lot of amazing people that have been put into our lives who are rallying around us and who are also helping in the initiative to create a petition and try to help, you know, overturn this guideline or at least make it aware to parents so that way they can exercise those constitutional parental rights that they have.
And it's heartbreaking to hear this because you are someone who cares and has cared for so long for children. And this is the topic of another show. And we've certainly discussed it here on Educate as well, that, you know, the science isn't there to even support this in the first place, knowing what we know now. I mean, there's a reason many countries have come forward and frankly outlawed all of this for our minors. But it seems like that can't be part of the conversation when we're actually talking about facts and evidence. So that, I think, is disheartening. Then that's just my own personal opinion, speaking as a journalist and as a reporter, somebody, you know, who does believe in fact, when it comes to that. Again, Christina Barton talking about what's going on in the Rochester public school system, a school counselor there. As we close, though, there is something that folks can do. I know there's a petition that parents can sign to send a message to Rochester's superintendent. But talk to us about that effort, Christina.
Yeah, so there's an organization called Strengthen Rochester Schools, SRS, and they have created a petition that can be found on MN535.org. And what it is to create an awareness for the current guideline, but also to let the school board know that, you know, we do have a voice. We, the people of Rochester, Minnesota, do care deeply about our children, and we do want to be heard. And what we're asking is for people of the community to look at the guideline for themselves, make their own decision. And if they are in support of the district being transparent going forward, not just with this guideline, but for with everything going forward, being transparent between the community and the parents and the district, that they would sign their signature. And our hope is to present this to them on May 7th at a school board meeting and let them know we will be heard. We will not be silenced. Our voice matters. And hopefully it will help them understand that we will fight back. We will not stand still any longer, and we will exercise our constitutional freedoms to make our voice heard.
I would rather die on my feet than live on my knees. One of my my favorite sayings is as well. Christina, you're an inspiration, I think, for so many people. Keep up the good fight there in Rochester. But thank you so much for being my guest this week on Educate.
Thank you so much, Liz. Take care.
What a great conversation this week. Again, want to thank Christina Barton for her bravery in coming forward. I think speaking for so many when it comes to this dangerous and divisive time we seem to be living in, and who pays the price but our kids. Thankfully, there are educators with a backbone still out there, and Christina Barton is certainly one of them. Thanks again for joining me this week on Educate. We're back again next week.